Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Mel Watt is the new director of the agency that oversees the mortgage financing giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, he's important because these two companies, bailed out by taxpayers and run by the government, guarantee about two-thirds of all the home loans in this country. And this week, Watt gave his first public speech, and it was a big one because he basically reversed the policies of his predecessor. Instead of shrinking Fannie and Freddie, as had been the plan, Watt intends for the companies to keep playing a major role in the housing market, and that even includes some policy changes that could make it easier to get a mortgage. Joining me to talk about this development is regular contributor Joe Nocera with the New York Times and Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times. So were you surprised by this news, and what will this actually mean for the housing market? Cardiff?
You know, I was surprised by how forcefully he made his points, right? I mean, I wasn't surprised that he disagreed with his predecessor's view of things. But the fact that he was so aggressive in saying explicitly that he's not going to have anything to do with the whole, you know, reform process of what to do in the longer term with the GSEs, he sees his role right now primarily to make sure that the housing finance market is working and to make sure that credit is available to people who in the past, in the last few years, may not have had access to these mortgages. So I was surprised by how aggressive he was, but I can't say that I was surprised by his views. We mostly knew his views going in.
Right. And his predecessor, Ed DeMarco, had been at loggerheads for most of his time in this job with the White House. The White House constantly wanted him to expand housing, and he basically refused to do it. And he saw his job as a conservator running something that was in conservatorship. Now, it's still in – Fannie and Freddie are still in conservatorship. They're still under the control of the government. They're making actually tons of money, all of which is going to the government, by the way. And the new guy, Mel Watt, is basically saying, you know, this thing really isn't broken, at least not right now.
Well, what's the danger if he didn't make this change? If we kept going in the direction of shrinking Fannie and Freddie, would there actually be consequences to the housing market, to my ability to get a mortgage or refinance?
I'd say there already were consequences. I mean, look what's happened in the last few years. The struggles of the housing market are probably the single biggest disappointment. Now, there's multiple reasons for that, right? I mean, income growth has been bad. There's still a tremendous jobless problem. Unemployment remains quite high. But one of the problems is that the banks went too far in the other direction from where they were before the crisis. Lending standards were very, very tight. And so I think this was a way of saying, look, we've got to do something to get this part of the economy going again. It's not fair to a lot of people, but also from a macroeconomic standpoint, it's hugely important.
So, Joe, was politics part of Mel Watt's announcement, you think?
Well, politics got him the job. That's the main way to think about it. The White House is, once he's in the job, the White House is not going to micromanage him. They really can't. He's an independent regulator. He has authorities, and it would be inappropriate for the White House to do too much in terms of trying to direct him. But they named him knowing he was going to be predisposed to treat Fannie and Freddie in a different way than his predecessor. You know, it's also worth noting that because Fannie and Freddie are so important to the housing market, you know, if they have a standard that says we're only going to accept a 20% down payment, then there's only going to be a 20% down payment. One of the big things he said in that speech was we're not necessarily going to insist on a 20% down payment, depending on the circumstance of the borrower and so on and so forth.
Does this mean, Joe, basically that we are addicted to government money when it comes to providing mortgage financing in this country?
Well, not only we are addicted now, but we have been always addicted. Government has played an important role in housing since the 1930s. And the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, which very, very few countries have, we have and is available to us largely because of government backing. If there was no government backing of the 30-year fixed, it would not exist.
Yeah. And by the way, this is also why it's so hard to figure out what to do with Fannie and Freddie over the long term, right? In principle, it sounds great that we could move towards a system where private capital plays a bigger role and there's less of a government backstop. In reality, the fact that that Fannie and Freddie have been there for so long means that it's very difficult to disentangle them from the market. It means that it would have to be done over a very long period of time. And so the question is, do you do incremental reforms or do you try to move to something radically different? I think it's a very difficult question to answer, but I also think that it's really unrealistic to say that we're going to do it anytime soon.
You know, yesterday the Senate, there was a Senate committee that voted through a bill to really reform and end Fannie and Freddie, but the likelihood of it getting passed is pretty slim. Considering what Watts said and the fact that Congress is not really taking action to change Fannie and Freddie, is this kind of what we're stuck with?
Yes.
Well, so then final point would be home ownership is such a big deal in the United States. But during the financial crisis, there was really the sense of reevaluating whether or not everyone should be owning home, whether or not there were too many people trying to own homes. Is there any danger with what Watts proposing to do that we could start going back to a world where people who can't afford homes are buying homes?
There's always a danger that that could happen, but I really don't think it's likely anytime soon. I think it's still likely that the banks just went too far in the other direction and that it actually wouldn't be such a bad thing if they eased up a little bit.
And the country is so scarred from what happened. The memory is still so strong that alone will prevent lunacy from breaking out the way it did in 2006, 2007.
Well, finally, let's take a look ahead to some of the other stories you're watching. Cardiff, what's on your agenda?
Okay, look, May 21st, Janet Yellen is giving a different kind of speech. She's giving the commencement address to NYU students at Yankee Stadium. There's a reason I'm following this, because last year, one of my favorite commencement speeches was from Ben Bernanke. He talked about admiration. He talked about the nature of success and luck in your life. He quoted poets. I mean, it was a very interesting, it was a very philosophical discussion. I want to see if Janet Yellen can match that.
And she's from Brooklyn, so she's got that, hometown
That's
vibe
right.
there as well. Joe, what are you watching?
I'm watching the decline and fall of Swiss banking as we have always known it.
You're not going to be parking your money in Switzerland anymore?
No, and neither are any other Americans who are trying to hide their taxes. Sometime soon, probably next week, Credit Suisse is going to plead guilty and pay somewhere around $2.5 billion to settle a long-running case that the government has basically brought, alleging that they allowed Americans to hide their taxes. Switzerland, for years and years and years, secrecy was the core element of their banking system, and that is about to go away.
If it's not Switzerland, which country will get their business?
I was going to say, Joe's making me look positively frivolous. It's such a serious topic, but also a very important one. I agree.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. And you can take this program with you as a podcast, available on iTunes. Cardiff Garcia with the Financial Times, Jonah Serra with the New York Times. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.